Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are speaking with one of the most, well, thoughtful, I think, perspicacious, is the 50-cent word for it, men I know in the business of trying to monitor and assess and raise an alarm about the jihadism that this country and indeed much of the free world is now facing. He is Soren Kern, a senior fellow with the Gatestone Institute. You can find its work at his, among others, terrific contributors at gatestone.org. Let me ask you to sort of put what we've been talking about to this point, Soren, into context. We've discussed the violence kind of jihad, the vehicular attacks, the rapes. We've talked a little bit about the phenomenon of these, the people who are perpetrating much of that in Western countries in Europe at the moment, particularly. How did they get there? And more to the point, what is the impetus in Sharia for them to migrate, or if you will, colonize non-Muslim lands?
Yeah, well, that really gets down to the heart of the matter. I think what we see here really is, in a broad brush, is a spiritual problem. European societies have become hyper-secularized to the extent that Americans can't even imagine. And so it's really created a spiritual power vacuum, to my mind, that is being filled very rapidly by Islam. Now, I think that Islam really needs to be understood for what it is. The meaning of the word Islam is obviously it's submission. It's not peace, as President Obama and President Bush always wanted us to believe. Submission. Islam is submission to the will of Allah. And the will of Allah is in the Sharia. And the way that you bring, let me just step back, is that the whole idea of Islam breaks the world down into two categories of people, those who are Muslims and those who are not. And according to Islamic law, there will never be peace in the world until all of the non-Muslims are brought under the submission of the Muslims. That's the core essence of Islam, of submission. And so there are many different ways that, that this is carried out, but jihad, there can be peaceful means of jihad and there can be violent means of jihad. Jihad is essentially holy war, the process of conquering the world for Islam.
So it's not about personal struggle, as we've been told, often by the same people who claim it's a religion of peace.
It's very clearly, if you read the Quran and if you read the Islamic base scriptures and doctrines, it's very clearly that the jihad is far more than just a personal struggle with sin or with whatever. It's very clearly a means to conquer the non-Muslim world. And so I think that what we have, there's a term in Islam called hijra, which is essentially migration, conquest through demographics. And I think this is really what we're seeing in Europe. We're seeing large-scale migration of Muslims who won't integrate because the Sharia prohibits them from integrating. And the Sharia essentially obliges all true Muslims to bring the non-Muslims into the Muslim fold. And so I see that European leaders, even European church leaders who have become so secularized and so de-Christianized and so far removed from, the essence of the Bible, that they have lost the ability to think in spiritual terms and to understand the spiritual dimension of Islam. Islam is a religious system, but it's also a political system that essentially is shrouded as a religious system. And I think, Westerners have just lost the ability to think in those terms, to think in the terms that there is actually a political religious system like Islam that is fully intent on world domination, because that's the whole essence of Islam.
Well, this is why I focus, as we do my colleagues at the Center for Security Policy, on Sharia as a means of helping to differentiate between what most of us would think of as the qualities and practice of a religion from what is fundamentally, as you've said, an expansionist, totalitarian supremacist, brutally repressive doctrine, namely Sharia. And while I understand that, the authorities of the faith say they are one and the same, and many Muslims, practice both, it does seem to me that it's helpful, Soren, especially for Westerners who don't think of religion as having any of these the latter qualities at all, to understand what's afoot here and therefore what needs to be defended against. And as you were speaking, I just wanted to mention that unfortunately the migration is only one piece of sort of this demographic jihad. There's also high birth rates and polygamy. Would you talk about how those are manifesting themselves in societies like those of Western Europe, for example?
Yeah, what happens essentially is that when there's large-scale migration into Western Europe from Muslim countries, many of these people begin to congregate in certain sections of the cities, ghettos, I guess you could call it. And so as they get larger and larger and larger, you see increasing demands for concessions to the Muslims. So what you see is in all European countries, you see increasing concessions by secular states to Sharia law, to accepting parts of Sharia law. And many of the Sharia courts, so to speak, in European countries adjudicate civil matters, divorces, inheritances. So what we have really is the emergence of a parallel justice system in many European countries where, you have to understand that the Sharia is in essence completely incompatible with Western democracy because the Sharia does not believe that Muslims and non-Muslims are equal. So it's just there's no compatibility. But what is happening is what sometimes referred to as a creeping Sharia. There are little concessions here and there, allowing exceptions to polygamy is one of those. Now you have a situation in which polygamy is illegal in all European countries, but exceptions are made for the migrants. So you have one case, for example, in Germany, where one man from Syria has an extended family of 24 or 25 with his wives and children, and he's receiving 250,000 euros a year in subsistence from the state, from German taxpayers.
This is a suicide scenario.
There are believed to be more than 1,500 polygamous marriages just in Berlin alone. So and you see this repeated in France and in the UK and other countries.
To some extent, as I understand it, they rationalize this, Soren Kern, by saying, well, as long as you've married them someplace else, you can bring them in. But the idea that all of these people can be put on the dole is a formula for bankrupting these host societies, inevitably, it seems to me, to say nothing of, outpacing the population. We're already told, Soren, that Muhammad is the most popular name in the United Kingdom, and the trends are for these populations to surpass native populations in this century. It's really almost unbelievable, but chilling. Not because these individuals, as individuals, are Muslims or because of their pietistic practice, but because to the extent that they are embracing this supremacist doctrine, they must destroy the host societies. And this is an important message for us here in the United States as well. Very quickly, Soren, let me at least introduce the topic of zakat. What is that about and how does that play into what you're seeing in Europe at the moment and elsewhere?
Well, zakat is a form of almsgiving, a form of charity. What you see in many European countries, presumably in the United States as well, is that many Muslim charities are set up under the guise of being humanitarian agencies or organizations, but whose primary mission really is to perpetuate and speed up the spread of Islam and Islamic values and Islamic norms in Western countries.
In other words, it's a way of providing material support for jihad of one kind or another. Soren, this is incredibly important. I want to turn in the next segment, which we have to turn to momentarily, to another kind of jihad, a stealthy form of jihad. And we'll get into that and what it might mean for you straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.